God's love is pure. God's love is everlasting. God's love is all powerful. God's love is freely given to all. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. We praise you, God, that you come to us in the most powerful of all emotions, the most powerful of all decisions. You come to us in the form of love. And there, at the most deepest level that we have, is that we want someone to love us. You show that by the form in which you came, in the form of a baby. You demonstrated that on a hill outside of Jerusalem, and then illustrated to us the true power of love, that love never dies, when you brought your son back to life there in that garden tomb. We're blessed, Lord God, to know all facets of your love, a love that's there with us whenever our hearts are hurting, a love there with us when we love another person, and a love there with us when we love those who we find truly unlovable. Thank you, great God, for the power found in your love. And we bring this prayer to you, we bring this worship to you, all in the name of the one we know to be love incarnate, in the name of Jesus. And we also bring to you the prayer that he taught us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. man was invited to a friend's house for dinner. And as the man was sitting there watching his host, the host and his wife, they seemed to have a wonderful relationship. In fact, the host kept calling his wife all these wonderful pet names like sweetheart and darling and my love and heavenly being, all kinds of things, right? So there was a moment when the wife left the room to go get something. And his friend leaned over to the host and said, "This is amazing. After all these years of you being married, to continue to call your wife all these wonderful little pet names." The host leaned over, as if to share some very, very deep knowledge, and said this, "Well, honestly, I have to admit, I've forgotten her name." I have to say, for our sermon series on the principal parts of the Christmas story, many of us forget the part that this person plays, the father, which is Joseph. We've looked at all the parts in these last few Sundays. We've looked at the prophecies and how throughout the ages, 600 years or more, long before the birth of Jesus, God said, "This is what will happen. This is where it will happen. This is to whom it will happen. This is how it will happen." Then we saw even the town in which Jesus was born, the town of Bethlehem. By the way, those of you who drove up, it's on the front lawn. If you want to see what Bethlehem kind of looks like in its day and time, looks like that. It's a whole lot of nothing. Nowadays it's not. Back then it was. But there, even that town had its own prophecy, had its own moment of shining in the sun. The shepherds were even given the blessing of seeing the angels come out of the sky. These dirty, smelly people who lived out in the country, they were blessed to hear the angel message that a Savior has been born. Of course, Mary gets a principal spot. Mary was met by the angel Gabriel while she was awake. In fact, when we were in the Holy Land, there was all these sites dedicated to Mary, where she was born, where she was announced, etc., etc. But there's one part of this story, kind of like forgotten, that he only met angels in a dream. There's no prophecy about him. There's no holy sites about him. That's Joseph. In this rendering of this sermon series, we often forget that Joseph is a principal part of the story. Without Joseph, none of this happens. Without Joseph being a father to Jesus, a husband to Mary, the story falls apart. In fact, there is no story. Many of us, when we do our nativity at home, Joseph sits way in the back. We put Mary and Jesus up front with the wise men, the shepherds are there, but where's Joseph? We have to like lean down and look into the manger to find where he's at, if he's even there. So let's look at Joseph, the critical part of the story that we tend to overlook. Joseph was of the line of David. Did you hear the angel's message that I read earlier when the angel said, "Joseph, son of David," not son of his father, son of David? And the reason for this is the line of David is critical for the Messiah. He had to come from the line of David, both from his mother's side, which is Luke's gospel, and from his father's side, which is Matthew's gospel. The reason for this is because of all those prophecies long ago, which said that the Messiah, the Christ, would be born of the line of David to be David's heir, sit on the throne forever. Joseph was born in Bethlehem. That's his town of birth. And that's why he had to go there to register with his wife, soon-to-be wife, is engaged for that census. Now, interestingly enough, I'd just like to share a word with this. In order to go to the Holy Land 2 months ago, Annette and I got a passport. The goal originally was, when we visited Keith in April, that's our son, we wanted to have our passport back in case we wanted to go to Canada, right? So we both applied early on. Annette got hers back, no problem. I got one of those registered letters back. Bad thing, okay? I opened it up wondering, where's my passport? It said my birth certificate was not valid. I started to wonder if I was even born. I'm thinking, what? It's not valid. Right there it was. No. The seal somehow got ripped off. There was no stamp that said I was actually born where I was born. Now, the reason why I share this with you, I couldn't go to Washington County Courthouse to get a new birth certificate. I wasn't born here. So I had to mail back to Westmoreland County Pennsylvania, had to have proof that I was who I was, and of course, a fee. And then after they received it, they sent me back a new birth certificate I could apply for my passport, which you know I got because I went to the Holy Land. The reason why I share this with you was that I couldn't register here. I had to register back at home. That's what Joseph had to do. Even though he lived in Nazareth, far north of Bethlehem, in order to register for this census, he had to go back to his place of birth, which was Bethlehem. And as a result of going back to Bethlehem, his ancestral home, then there the prophecy all came together. God worked it out centuries upon centuries long before it ever occurred. As we discussed last week, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Now, this betrothal was an engagement, but it was really solid engagement because a dowry would have been given to Joseph, a payment, if you will, to make Mary his wife. But with betrothal, with this engagement, there's no sexual relations until you set up house. There is no sleeping together until you become husband and wife. That's the critical part of this story. In that one-year engagement period, Mary, who was a virgin, before she became Mary, the wife of Joseph, during that time frame is when the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit brought a child with him. As they're waiting for the marriage day, of course, this is when Mary becomes pregnant. There's no record in our scripture of the discussion Joseph and Mary had. Can you imagine poor Mary? Joseph, I'm not really gaining weight. By the way, don't ever ask a woman. Either way, all you do is smile, wait for them to tell you. Okay, but Mary tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. There's no record of what Joseph says. Can you imagine? Kim first thought, she's cheated on me. Then she says this incredible story, oh, it's from God. Can you imagine Joseph's reaction? Yeah, right. Sure, it's from God. But here in this critical moment, we see Joseph's inner qualities. By the way, I want to point out, during your time of stress is when you demonstrate your inner qualities. The moment in which life lands on you, either expected or unexpected, whether it's good or bad, you show your inner qualities of what you've been developing all your life or not developing all your life. Because during those moments is when you're pushed to the limit and all your normal answers are gone. That's when we find what we're made of. This is where we find what Joseph is made of, what his inner qualities were during this moment of stress. Because you realize all of his hopes and dreams are gone. Because our natural reaction, our normal thought would be, she's cheated on me. Mary went out and it was someone else's baby. Imagine the pain that Joseph is feeling, that his beloved has betrayed him. This is where we find the depth of who he is. You see, Joseph doesn't act on revenge. He doesn't allow that moment of hate. You know, when someone's betrayed you, and what you want to do is you want to be the avenging angel of God and bring wrath down upon them. He doesn't do this. In fact, Joseph, according to Scripture, says that he was going to dismiss her quietly. He was going to do what we do in our manger scene. He's just going to fade into the background and we won't ever see him again. He'll just disappear. It was possible in that day and time to do that. He'd be gone. She would have a baby and everyone would think he's the scoundrel because he left her. That shows the depth of his love for her. Because if she was found out to be pregnant and it wasn't his, in that day and time, with the law they had, they would have stoned her to death. Here shows how he's prepared for this. Instead of acting out of anger, out of revenge, out of hatred, he allows the righteousness of God that he's been working on all his life to be present. The qualities of him listening to God, of following God's way, of following the Ten Commandments, and then following those incredible laws given to us out of the Old Testament. He wanted to walk rightly in God's eyes. He wanted to be one of God's own, follow God's standards, not the standards of the world. And as a result of that, as a result of his love for Mary and him being a righteous human being, he didn't bring revenge. He acted out of love and compassion. He did what we're all called to do, which is submit to the will of God, knowing that God will ultimately make everything right. It's not always our place to correct the wrongs we see around us unless God leads us. You know, sometimes God wants us to act. Let's be fair. But sometimes God wants us to wait. That's what the angel did to Joseph, called him to act, called him to move. We know that this dream must have been real because I want to tell you, folks, if you have an angel dream, don't always act on it unless you're certain it's an angel. Joseph knew it was certain it was an angel because he acted upon it. He kept Mary as his wife. And then the story continued. Now, you know, there's a ton of songs about Mary. In fact, if you looked in the in our hymn today, our hymn book today, there's Away in a Manger, there's Gentle Mary, Later Child, there's Mary, Did You Know? It's not in our hymn book. There are very few about Joseph. But there is one that's touched me always, about Joseph's struggle, about the fact that here he wants to follow God rightly, and here it looks like an incredible wrong done to him. It's titled, Such a Strange Way to Save the World. I'd just like to read it to you. It goes like this. Sure, he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him, because never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him, with all the rulers of the world? Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved, there would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherd at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason. Love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Now, from Joseph's story, from Joseph's perspective, what do we learn? What do we learn about this father? Realize first and foremost, folks, we always need to be preparing for the crisis. Y'all know that. A crisis will come. And the crisis may be incredible joy, horrible sadness, but a crisis will come. Are you prepared for it? Have you prepared your heart by being one of God's faithful, righteous ones when the crisis occurs? That's what Joseph teaches us. He prepared ahead of time for this incredible moment, and then he was the right one for the right job of being the father of the Messiah. I do have to say it's okay sometimes to listen to dreams that have angels in them. Now realize, if it goes contrary to Scripture, don't listen to that dream. But when the angel is so vivid, you're awake, that's the image we have here, it's okay to follow where God will lead you. And then most of all, what Joseph teaches us is that we're to live faithfully. Faithfully in the small items, in the large items. See, all those small items that Joseph lived faithfully was building up until he hit this massive crisis of his life. What to do with the love of his life, who looks like she cheated on him. And that moment, because he had been building all this way, he now could live faithfully according to God because he prepared for it. And then when God calls you, step into it. Because God always calls us to do great things. Joseph tells us that listening to God will always work out. Always. Even when it looks like it's not going to. Even when our pain is so deep that we can't see beyond it. Even when our suffering is so great that we cannot understand what's going on around us. When we follow faithfully, it will always work out. That is a guarantee, without a doubt. Now, Joseph may not be remembered in the long run, and in some lives you may not. But what you've done in the name of God will touch people for eternity. It may not be as big and grand as what Joseph did, being father to the Messiah, but you have the opportunity to demonstrate to the world what it means to be saved in the name of Jesus Christ and what it means to follow our Lord and Savior. That's what Joseph shows to us. Lasting effects by being faithful in our lives. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the incredible way our lives have been touched by you, for the manner in which our hearts have been warmed by you. And we're grateful that you give us a variety of ways in which we can test the skill we know is faith, in which we can demonstrate that we're not going to be swayed by what happens in the world. Our eyes are going to be focused on you, focused on how to live for you, focused on being one of your own. Thank you for the way in which you've called us into this kingdom through the incredible love we find as Jesus the Savior. And it's in his name that we offer this prayer to you. Amen. 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 Amen.